Nope. You are listening to the Friday Morning After on CKT 90.3 FM, and it is presently 8:38 a.m. Up next, we have an interview. We have an interview by Stefan Christoph with somebody named Devlin Koyuk, and I believe he's standing at the door right now. Devlin, why don't you take a seat? We pause for a little bit of awkward shifting around of chairs and stuff like that. So why don't you take it away, Stefan?
Well, we are going to be discussing now a global phenomenon which has been labeled land grabbing. Basically, land grabbing is a reality across the global south, mainly involving corporations and the territories of southern nations. So we're joined in studio by Devlin Koyuk, who is a longtime activist in the field of the rights of people to their land, and also looking a lot at the struggle against contemporary what is being called land grabbing across the world. Devlin is working on a website called farmlandgrab.org, and also works with an NGO called Grain, which is an international organization. Good morning, Devlin. Good
morning, Stefan.
Thanks so much for being here.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to start, if you could describe for us, broadly speaking, what is land grabbing? It's not something that we have been discussing much in the mainstream media in Canada, but maybe just break it down for us as a concept.
Well, land grabbing has been going on for centuries. I mean, so it in itself is nothing new. But what we are talking about is a relatively new phenomenon, and we're calling it global farmland grab. Started in 2008 with the food crisis and the financial crisis. What we have seen over since those years is basically corporations and, in some cases, states acquiring huge areas of land, generally over 10,000 hectares, overseas in other countries, generally in the countries of the south, but it's happening in, it's in Australia, New Zealand, and then you have Latin America, Africa, Eastern Europe, Asia. So they're acquiring large areas of land to produce food and to generally to export that food, in some cases to specific markets. What happened was you had basically a collapse of the global food market in 2008, and prices escalated. You had a lot of countries that were unable to get the food they needed to feed their populations at whatever price. So even for fairly wealthy countries, such as the Gulf countries, Korea, Japan, countries who have cash but don't have the sufficient food for their population, so they're import dependent, lost faith in the global market, essentially lost faith in the multinational corporations who control it to provide food for their people. So they started looking at other strategies. And one of the scariest ones they've adopted is this outsourcing of food production. So they will negotiate with other countries, generally poor countries. Many of them are food insecure themselves, such as Ethiopia, Senegal. Also in Latin America, you have Uruguay, you have Argentina, Brazil. Mm-hmm. They'll negotiate with these countries and make way for their corporations to go in and to acquire large areas of land, take over that land, set up corporate agriculture, and then export what they produce back to the home countries. You also have the financial sector, which sort of reeling from the 2008 financial crisis and looking for kind of alternative asset to sink their money into, something more stable, something that could provide returns when, the stock market was sinking. And now, again, that's happening. So, again, farmland has become this area of investment for them. And we've seen billions and billions of dollars being mobilized from the financial sector. I mean, this is, you've probably talked about it in other contexts, but there has been such a concentration of capital in this financial sector over the last couple decades. And it's able to mobilize huge sums of money and to place that money rapidly wherever it likes to around the world. So when farmland becomes something of attention for them, and once the structures are put in place, these sort of farmland investment vehicles and the corporate farming programs are there, now you have channels for that money to flow into it. And so this huge sums of money being mobilized by Wall Street, by Bay Street, by London City, Singapore, all these various financial centers going in now to these farmland companies who are engaged in finding, identifying farmland around the world, leasing it out, taking it over, getting rid of the people who are on that land or who have rights to that land, and then setting up their corporate farming models and going into good corporate food production.
Well, just maybe for people to get a sense of what this actually means, if we could just briefly look at one example. One that came to mind is the situation in Madagascar, which gained international headlines in response to the struggle against a massive land grab, corporate land grab in Madagascar.
Yeah, that was one of the first places that really sort of blew the lid off what was happening. You know, there had been signs of other negotiations happening with other countries, but in Madagascar what happened was news broke of through the Financial Times of a deal that had been negotiated between the South Korean company Daewoo, which is a major transnational corporation, with the government of Madagascar, that would have given over basically half of the arable land in the country. It was over 1 million hectares of land to this one company to produce corn, palm oil for export to Korea. And of course, when people got wind of what was happening, that instigated quite a reaction. It started in the diaspora because they were the only ones who had the information, and then they brought that information to the local people.
The diaspora of Madagascar.
The Malgache. Many of them are in France. Mm-hmm. And there was this this strong reaction from the people locally, which mixed in with a lot of anger towards the government in power, which was an extremely corrupt government. And that then helped to trigger, in a way, a coup and bring in a new government, which did cancel the, or at least put on hold, the deal with Daewoo. But there have been subsequent deals that have been negotiated with other companies, some of them that had been negotiated with the previous government and still had not come to light and came to light afterwards. So it's a very unclear situation. But you have similar deals being negotiated all over. I mean, Ethiopia right now is in the midst of a major program to give away its most fertile lands in the southern part of the country to foreign investors. Already they've given over 800,000 hectares. Mm-hmm. The plan is to do at least 3 million hectares. Mm-hmm. Which is what, about 7-8 million acres, and then another 5 million hectares for sugar production. I mean, and you can imagine this is corporate farming. It's very intensive farming, so it'll have huge impacts also on access to water. These are places where you have mostly indigenous communities who've lived in fairly fragile ecosystems, who've managed to maintain their cultures and ways of life, whose very survival is being threatened. We looked at a deal in Senegal where the government was a consulting firm who had been hired by Saudi investors and the Senegalese government, and they put together a project proposal. It would have given away if this had gone forward. We don't know actually what the current status of it, but it would have given away basically all of the irrigated rice lands of Senegal to this one Saudi firm, which would then have exported at least 70%. This was in the contract, 70% of the rice to Saudi Arabia. Now, Senegal is an import dependent country on rice, and rice is its major staple food. Yeah. And so, how is this a solution to the food crisis? You know, this is something that resolves a particular need for the most rich. You know, whether it's to make profits because your stock markets are sinking, or whether it's to feed your workforce in Saudi Arabia, or to deal with your own food sovereignty issues in a country like Korea or Japan, but it has absolutely nothing to do with resolving the food crisis in places where it's most needed.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Devlin Koyak, who is one of the creators of farmlandgrab.org. So maybe we can just talk about your website, one that you're working on with many people globally, in a process to document a lot of what you're describing right now.
Yeah, well, one of the things that happened at the beginning was that people kind of refused to believe that it was happening. It was saying, well, this is a bit of a It's a bit of a sensational story. I mean, how many of these projects are really going to get off the ground? You know, how can one imagine a 100,000-hectare farm or a million-hectare farm? You know, so there was a lot of resistance to actually believing in the phenomenon. So we wanted to create a space where we could document what was happening, because, in fact, there has been a lot of good media. There has been a lot of good investigative journalism that's been happening. And so the stories are there. We just wanted to put them together in a site. And so farmlandgrab.org has become a bit of a repository for all of the reports. You can find video, you can find audio. There's some excellent video work that has been done, some good films that have been done that have documented, you know, especially what's happening locally, how the communities are suffering from this and resisting. There, you can search it by country, you can search it by investor, you'll find Canadian articles there as well.
Maybe we can jump to that point quickly.
Yeah.
What is the role of Canadian corporations in this process you're describing, farm land grabbing by corporations?
Well, Canada is a target as well. I mean, we have provincial land legislation that makes it quite difficult for foreigners to acquire land here, but there are farmland investment funds that have been set up, which are channeling Canadian money into the acquisition of farmland and this sort of consolidation of farmland, and, you know, generating these kind of financial vehicles that allow for speculators to make profits from farming, essentially. And there's pressure to sort of change the legislation to open that up. There's also been some evidence of, you know, foreign companies acquiring land here, including in Quebec. But the other side of that is you have Canadian money, Canadian banks, such as Toronto Dominion Bank. You have private equity firms like Lawrence Asset Management, which has acquired 100,000 hectares in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, who are active players in this. And I think there is still work to be done to really take the veil off that, to understand who are the big investors. Sprott Resource Management, which is a Bay Street company. Again, they're very active buying farmland in Uruguay and in Canada, on native reserves out west, particularly. So there is quite a bit that's happening in Canada. Our government is also active in trying to set international policy around this, because what you have too is you have the international agencies like the World Bank, the FAO, who are quite active in trying to now create a sort of framework of like corporate responsibility. You have the Canadian government, which is taking that track, and a lot of us, including a lot of farmers' movements, people on the ground who've been signing appeals and issuing statements and what have you to try to denounce these processes, because we see them as very toothless. I mean, the guidelines that they're presenting, which are called the Responsible Guidelines on Responsible or Principles on Responsible Agricultural Investment, have zero teeth. They're all voluntary, and they're 10 steps backwards from even the most, you know, from any of the corporate codes of conduct that have been set up for various industries, which have failed anyways. So, you know, like if you look at palm oil and the responsible roundtable on responsible palm oil, these kind of things which have really failed, even then, those are what they're proposing for the land grab is 10 steps back from
that. Okay. I mean, essentially, it seems that the entire process in regards to community accountability or sovereignty, national sovereignty over territory, farmland grabbing at a corporate level, kind of strips people's ability to have any sort of democratic voice in terms of defining the future of their own lands.
No, absolutely. There's none. I mean, most communities don't even understand what's happened until the bulldozers arrive.
Devlin Koyak from farmlandgrab.org. So I'd encourage people to check out the website. You're also working with Grain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grain.
Yep. It's a great organization. Grain.org.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You're listening to the Friday Morning After. Thanks so much for being with us. This is CKUT 90.3 FM.